Hey, movie lovers, I'm Maria.
And I'm Sam.
Welcome to Unsolicited Flick Picks.
Movie reviews no one asked for. Book adaptations can be a fan's dream come true or worst nightmare. Taking a fictional world put together inside a reader's head is no small task. We wanted to talk a bit about some of our faves and some that we are trying to forget. So this week we're talking all about movie book adaptations. And I'll be honest, I'm not a big reader. I would like to be, but most of the books that I currently have are just for decor purposes. I have some like good old big like encyclopedias, and I have a few like hardcover Stephen King books that are just like just for the aesthetic.
Nice. Yeah, I have a few collections here and there, some of which I've read, many of which I've read like a third of. Mm-hmm. I'm a big not finisher of the books.
I feel like I've read like the big ones, but there's just so many. It's just too much to keep up with.
There's so many. I was thinking books are a bit like podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense, like, there's just so many. You can just write one.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone can do it.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Especially now.
Making a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's start with the good, because it's always good to start on a positive note.
Agreed.
So we've each picked a couple in kind of the categories of good adaptations, bad adaptations, and some that were kind of just fair. Because it is obviously our opinions. So there are some that were good in some ways and bad in some ways, because you kind of have to look at a movie that was a book and say, well, the movie was good, but it's not like the book at all. You kind of have to like look at it as two separate things. So
yeah,
I wanted to include a just fair category. Really, really descriptive.
Mixed feelings.
Yeah. Everything's not black and white.
Awesome. I like it. I'm pumped to do this. This is a good idea.
So starting off with the good. So I've picked three good. Let's start with, of course, the most obvious, the golden standard for adaptations, Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. And I know I will never, I made a promise to you that I would never make you watch Lord of the Rings. I know many people have tried. So this is my chance to talk about Lord of the Rings.
Okay. I am all ears.
So what made these movies so good was that it was made by someone who's Peter Jackson, who like literally immersed himself in the project. It was years of his life, and it just showed on the movies like how much he really loved the source material. They also lived in New Zealand. They lived in New Zealand for like a few years and filmed everything back to back. So it was literally his life for that long. And what I loved so much about these movies, other than like just the story and just, you know, everything that's good about them, but they did a lot of practical effects, and they used forced perspective to make it look like the hobbits were small.
They used literal
children for the hobbits in like the wide shots, and like practical effects are my favorite. I wish that more movies did practical effects. And then when it came to their CGI, a lot of it was groundbreaking at the time. And like, for instance, some of those really big battle scenes, a lot of the concepts and like the computer programming to create those were created just for Lord of the Rings. Like to make it look like this dynamic battle is happening behind them, like behind the actual main characters that they're really filming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you best believe 10-year-old me watched all of the DVD extras and, you know, learned all of these things.
I do believe. 10-year-old you. It came out when you were 10.
I think like 2001. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. maybe not super like age appropriate to watch, but I mean it was, but it's not scary or anything. It's just dense. I think it's just dense for a 10-year-old, which is probably why you just didn't never really like, you know, you have to be like a really big fan of like high fantasy to really get on board with it. And I'm very nervous. True. They're making a TV show. I think Peter Jackson is involved, but Amazon Studios is doing a TV show. It will have a big budget, but I'm nervous. It's like messing with like perfection to me. So I'm nervous.
That's fair. But then they did that with Star Wars with The Mandalorian.
Yes. Oh, that's an excellent point. Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to hold out hope. Number two, we'll talk about Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. Yeah, I did read this series, I think, before watching all of the movies, I believe. Because I do, like, you know how when you're reading a book and, like, you are, like, imagining a character? You kind of, like, have your own thoughts on what they look like. I definitely didn't expect PETA to look like that, so. Because he keeps being described as strong. Because he heaves bags of, like, flour everywhere. And I definitely didn't expect the actor because he's, like, kind of little. So, yeah. I think I had a different idea in my head, but, like, I will
Who plays the other?
Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other Hemsworth brother. So, while they did take some stuff out of these books in the movies, they did leave a lot of it in. Like, it was pretty true to the books. And what I think I noticed most of what they took out was, like, Katniss's inner thoughts, which kind of like made her a more relatable character, kind of like justified her like actions a lot more. So obviously that doesn't necessarily like translate well onto screen, but I think they did a good job on this. I really liked them. It had like an amazing cast. Like Jennifer Lawrence is amazing. Elizabeth Banks, some like heavy hitters like Donald Sutherland and Philip Seymour Hoffman and tons of others that like I can't even like list. So I think they definitely put the effort in, especially the visuals and like all of the crazy people from the Capitol. I can't remember how I envisioned all of those crazy costumes and stuff, but I think they did it like way better than I had imagined it. And in the second book / second movie, when the like battlefield arena is like a clock and has like the different sections, They did that way better than I had imagined it. So that's why I think that these are on the good list.
Yeah. I fully agree. Should I give my rundown now while we're on?
Yeah, because you also chose this.
Okay, because I agree. I also chose this. I actually did read the book and I've seen the movie a few times, but I think I was compelled to read the book after I saw the movie. So I don't have any of those preconceived visions. Loved the movie. The acting was so good. And you were saying the way they brought the book to life and like the action scenes, or I guess like the games.
Yeah.
Super, super good. Yes. Better than what you can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, big time. And then what I have for number three is, and maybe this is controversial, but it is my damn opinion. Three, Stephanie Meyer's Twilight series. 5 stars. I will not be taking any further questions on this. Please respect my privacy during this time. Actually, Maria and I have an unreleased pilot episode that we recorded on Twilight. I think the audio didn't end up being great, and it was like well over an hour because we like didn't have like our our like groove yet, but just know that that is like somewhere in the archives, probably never to see the light of day, but maybe we'll
it
like
sure is it was fun.
It was super fun. It was like just like us like learning how to do it. Maybe we'll revisit it sometime.
Yes,
who knows.
I think so.
Yeah, because I mean those movies are just like, I will openly say that I love them, but I'm fully aware that they're terrible movies. Like, they're terrible. And we...
Yeah, Twilight in particular.
Yes. Yep. Oh, so they're just brutal. And, like, the books aren't even good either. Like, not to knock, like, I am not an author, but Stephanie Myers is, she's, like, very Mormon, and so a lot of her, like, ideals and stuff that, like, might be a little bit questionable do kind of, like, bleed into it, like, about how Edward is, like, so, like, obsessed with, like, they have to get married, like, right after high school before they have sex. There's just, like, a lot of that, that when you're reading the book, it's, like, very, like, steeped in that culture, so.
Yeah, like, the purity.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's great. It just doesn't resonate necessarily with
me. With, like, the modern world.
Yeah.
So. So, looking at, like, these three movies series that I mentioned, they do have, like, some pretty big things in common. Massive budgets, kind of geared towards that YA audience, at least Hunger Games and Twilight was. So kind of a pretty easy to please audience, like, teenage girls. Like, you just have to, like, put Liam Hemsworth or put Robert Pattinson in there, and, like, the girls, you know, the girls or will Jennifer follow.
Lawrence.
So not as much of a tough critic as, like, say Lord of the Rings, which is, like, a mostly male nerd audience. No, like, that is a tough critic. That is a tough critic. There's, like, a reason why there's, like, that kind of funny stereotype of nerds being like, actually, it's this. You know? Which I've done before.
Yeah.
There's a really funny, like, web TV show called Actually, and they read, they'll read, like, a statement, and the contestants have to say, like, pick out, like, what's wrong with it. Like, they'd be like, in Lord of the Rings, I don't know, Sam carries the ring to Mordor. And then they'd be like, actually, Frodo carried the ring. It's a really funny show that Trevor and I watch all the time.
That's so funny. Actually.
All right, let's get into your goods.
Well, yeah. I mean, full disclosure to our listeners, my picks are mostly purely based on my affection for the movie in question. So lots of them I haven't read the book. And for a girl who doesn't read a ton of fiction and who doesn't watch many movies, coming up with, like, a roster of 9 picks for this episode was a bit challenging. So I've got a couple in each category. Good, Hunger Games, we talked about. Lovely. The Notebook, based on the Nicholas Sparks movie. And I feel like this needs very little explanation, but let's give it a go. No idea how it's stacked up against the book, but my guess is for romance lovers, the book would have been, like, a slower paced version of this epic love story.
Yeah.
But slower in, like, a good way.
Yeah. I mean, the book doesn't have Ryan Gosling, so.
That's true. That's true.
I feel like this movie kind of, like, sparked the, like, a new genre of movies, which is, like, Nicholas Sparks movies.
Yeah.
It's like a whole genre. Like
Dear John.
Yeah.
I think the nice thing about romance novels is you can kind of, like, linger in the moments and imagine the scenes almost as if you were the main character. Mm-hmm. But the movie, on the other hand, was so emotional and sweet, but Rachel McAdam and Ryan Gosling really were in the driver's seat.
Right. Yep.
You were in their story.
Totally agree with that. Oh, it's so good.
So another love story for the good category, P.S. I Love You.
Oh.
And I haven't seen this movie in so long, but I would watch it over and over again.
You watch this more than once? It's so sad.
Yeah, but it's so good.
It is. Oh my God, it makes me cry so much.
Yeah. It's one of those stories, like, that definitely came from a book.
Yeah.
Because it has so many, like, subtle storylines and twists. So it's, like, an interesting story, but also a really just, like, sweet love story. And also super, super sad.
Oh, yeah.
And Hilary Swank and Gerard Butler are just a wonderful duo as well.
Yeah.
So that's it. Those are my three good.
Amazing. I mean, there's obviously, like, a billion more. I hesitated to want to talk about Harry Potter because I didn't read all of the books, and I feel like it's like, it's kind of like Lord of the Rings in that like it's like the book adaptation series.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just don't have enough information. A lot of people assume that I like Harry Potter because I like nerdy things, but I'm not really a Potterhead. So
you know what we could do? Because I always said I would read Harry Potter, the series, when I retired.
Oh.
So maybe you and I should do a little Harry Potter journey.
Yeah. I mean, weirdly enough, I love all the Harry Potter stuff at Universal Studios.
Oh, yeah.
We did that a lot.
Yeah.
But
I also like am more into the Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah.
Like how can I put it? Like the jelly beans and the music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the character names.
Yeah.
And the actual like story of what happens. I really don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of character names, I think it was in grade 4, one of our teachers read the Harry Potter books aloud, like to the class. Like you'd all sit on the rug, listen to them read. And
yeah,
my teacher pronounced Hermione as Hermione, which is just like something that like when you're reading books, you don't hear how it's pronounced, especially like in like fantasy when they have so many like consonants in their names, you have no idea how to say them. But so when I first like when the movies first started coming out, I was like, Hermione? Like what? That's not how I heard it. So that's another funny thing, like of books to movies, is just like little things like that that
yeah, totally
you hear in your head. All right, let's talk about bad.
Okay.
Bad. Three that I've picked, I have actually read them all. Number one is the movie called Aragorn. And it's based on book one of the Inheritance series by Christopher Pellini. Didn't have a huge budget, didn't have good effects, decent-ish cast, but they changed a lot and left a lot out. And yeah, I did read these books and I loved them. It's a high fantasy. It's about like a young boy who finds a dragon's egg and has a dragon and, you know, all your typical Aragorn fantasy stuff. But what's like super interesting about the books and specifically the author, he was 15 years old when he wrote these books.
What?
And then he self-published at 19 before getting a major publishing deal.
Wow.
But he was criticized for taking a lot of inspirations from other stories like Lord of the Rings, another fantasy book called Earthsea, and Star Wars. And okay. He was criticized a lot for the writing style and writing standard. He was 15.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't know how big these books were going to get. And do you think at 19, you would like not take a publishing deal if it's offered? So, I mean, it's kind of like too bad that people make fun of her because he's an adult now.
Yeah.
But oh my God, the movie was so bad. If you ever like hear it or like see it on like a Reddit thread, people are like, what Aragorn movie? They didn't make one. I don't know. Like, what are you talking about? They didn't make a movie that. Oh, I haven't watched it since it first came out, so maybe I'll revisit it. And I'd like to reread the books, but it's like they're when I was like, I think I was in junior high when I read them. When I was reading them in junior high, it felt like I was reading an adult book because they're really, really like large books. But they are like the author was 50, and like they're not like super sophisticated. So I don't know if I'd be able to reread them. It'd be a huge commitment.
Right.
So number two is The Hobbit by Tolkien. And I did read this book and then they did something weird. They made one book into three movies, which was a weird move. I get a lot of them will do like two movies for like the last book. Like a few have done that. But it's weird to make three movies out of one book. It like they left out a lot of stuff, but like also had to add in a bunch of unnecessary stuff. Huh. Like a lot of people criticize, say like added in a romance storyline, which would be good for you. Like you would enjoy that, but
they got to appeal to the masses if they're going to the big screen.
But they didn't appeal to the nerds that that are like, yeah, Lord of the Rings doesn't need romance.
Yeah, weird move.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
The only romance that the Lord of the Rings universe needs is Legolas and Gimli. They're in love. And I know that means nothing to you. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I read The Hobbit also in junior high, but it might have even been like grade 6, which is elementary. So it was, I'd like to go back and read it as an adult and having watched all of the movies, but it's mm-hmm. very daunting. It's a really good read, but it is not an easy read. Like it was a lot for me to read it at the age that I did. It's big.
And it's not a huge book though, is it?
It's pretty big. It's not super thick. Yeah, it's pretty big. I would say like quite. And, you know, sometimes fantasy is just hard to read too. Like I said, with all the names with the different continents and
yeah, that's,
all the places yeah, exactly. are something different. And, you know, some of them have kind of that like old English flowery language, which can be kind of. Yeah.
Subtitles are required. Yeah. And even then it can be tough.
Exactly. Move on to my third pick, which is Death Note, which is based off a Japanese comic by, oh god, please hope that I can pronounce these names correctly, and I apologize if I don't, Tsugumi Oba and Takashi Obata. And I did read all most of the comics, and then there was like an animated series that was okay because it followed the comics, but they made like an American movie and it was horrible.
Oh.
First off, to say like whitewashing a movie is obviously like not good, but they were making it an American version. So like I can like let that slide in a sense, but they took all of the good stuff about the comics and like just threw it out the window. And like the acting was really bad because it's hard to translate that very Japanese style. It doesn't translate well to American culture. And they took like a lot of like the scariness, like you know, like Japanese horror, like the movie like The Ring or The Grudge.
Okay, yeah.
It has like I don't imagine you've seen those. You're not a big horror fan.
Actually have.
Because they were like huge.
Yeah, like big during our sleepover era, where I was forced to watch them by Megan McGregor.
Exactly. But you know that like that Japanese horror that's like just really unsettling?
Yeah.
Death Note had a lot of that. I'll give you like a brief idea of like what it's about, because it's like kind of a cool concept. This like young teenage boy, he finds a notebook that was dropped by like a demon, and when you write someone's name in the notebook, they die.
Whoa.
And there's all these rules. You can write time of day, you can write like how they will die, and anyway, so there's all these sorts of rules. And so this kid basically goes like Dexter on his city, where he like writes the names of criminals.
Oh.
But then like the FBI is on to him, and so it's kind of like a big cat and mouse, him trying to stay under the radar and like not get caught.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really really good, but the movie, very very bad. It's another one that people are like, no, they didn't make that movie, it's not real.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah.
All right, tell me about your bads.
Okay, well, I've not watched enough movies in my lifetime to have multiple picks for this one. So I'm just going to offer one big doozy of a flick, and that is 50 Shades of Grey. Okay.
Amazing.
I have no problem admitting that I thoroughly enjoyed reading the first 50 Shades of Grey book. And fun fact, my mom and I shared a copy. Oh, one God. Summer. Yeah. So of course I was intrigued when the movie was coming out, but at the same time, like, the book was so delightfully risque that it was going to be difficult to do it justice on the big screen,
right, and not make it porn.
Yeah exactly. A lot of that like inner thought process that just doesn't translate.
Yeah.
And then if it does, it's like weird,
right,
if they try and do like a, you know, narrative. So this, I read the book first, obviously, and none of the characters were how I pictured them. And they were all just a bit muted and dull for my liking.
Yeah.
Just like boring looking characters. Yeah. And at least with the book, your imagination can really run with the crazy ideas of like the sex chambers and even more like the normal moments you can romanticize, or like the lead character looks like how you want them to.
Yeah. They can look like yourself if you want.
Exactly. But the movie, you just get what you get. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't very interesting.
Okay, another fun fact about 50 Shades of Grey. Did you know that it is based off a Twilight fan fiction?
Oh,
50 Shades of Grey, the first one at least, is basically the same story as Twilight. So someone wrote like kind of like a risque version of Twilight.
Yeah.
And then the author of 50 Shades of Grey took that and like changed a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And it is 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Yeah. A perfect formula, the foreboding love.
Exactly. Like kind of a bad boy, like, and then like a very like normal mousy girl. I didn't read these books, but I think I did see the first movie. It was also the thing like where I was like, I'm like embarrassed to like watch the movies. Like, I don't know. But I don't know. Maybe I'll give them a shot. I am a big fan of Twilight, so.
Yeah, read the book. The movies, you don't want to watch them with anybody.
Yeah, that's I think what I mean when I said like I'm embarrassed to watch them. Yeah. I don't want like Trevor to walk in and be like, Are you watching 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah, but like you don't want to watch it even like with your girlfriends, really. But then they're not like good enough, like in that sense, mm-hmm. to just watch alone.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You summed up my feelings. Exactly. All right, let's move on to Just Fair. I'll go first on this one.
Okay. So Just Fair, I went way back in my archives to a movie I watched when I was 9, Misery, based on Stephen King's novel, Misery. Do you know this one?
I have not seen or read this, but I do remember when you watched it, you were traumatized by it.
Fully.
With the eye thing? Yeah. Megan used to always do the eye thing to you?
Yeah, for me, this movie was not a great time. So it's based on a novel. And I think it's actually based, like the novel that Stephen King wrote is perhaps based on a true story. Oh. So Kathy Bates, who is delightful,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
Plays Anne Wilkes, who finds Paul Sheldon, a writer, who's been like holed up in a like lodge somewhere in the woods, finishing his last book or his latest book. And he gets into an accident in Wilkes' area, and Anne finds him, like brings him home and nurses him back to health, but reads the story he's just finished. And it was a sequel or the last book in a series about misery. Mm-hmm. And so she reads it and finds out that Paul, the author, kills off the main character, Misery, at the end. And she like hates that ending. Oh, no. And so like holds him captive until he finishes an alternate version of the story. It's wild. And they're in this like creepy little town. Ooh. And I think like critically speaking, is actually a really well-received movie.
Yeah.
But the problem here is that I watched it when I was 9, and there are two scenes in particular that I will never unsee. So one you mentioned, they're like in a tussle, obviously, because he's trying to like get out of her house. Yeah. They're fighting, and I don't know who holds who down, but they commit this horrible, violent act of sticking their thumbs into the other's eyeballs.
Oh my God.
Like, until their eyes bleed.
Oh, things with eyes are so gross.
Oh, it's so gross. It's so gross. And then another scene where the author, Paul, is in bed. And she's, like, taking care of him and is on to the fact that he wants to leave. And so she puts a wooden block in between his ankles and takes a sledgehammer and, like, breaks his feet inward. Oh, my God. So he can't go anywhere.
Holy shit.
It was wild. Yeah. Still, like, good, because I remember watching it thinking, whoa, this is, like, the scariest movie I've ever seen. And but just some of it was.
I would guess that a lot of, like, Stephen King movies would be in the Just Fair. Like, I don't even know how many, like, Stephen King book movies there are, but there's, like, tons. Like, I actually read and watched Cujo, which is the one about the, like, the rabid dog. And I remember watching the movie and being like, yeah, that was exactly how the book is.
Right.
I think a lot of them would fall under like the just fair category.
Hmm, interesting.
There are some that are like great, but.
Because this is another one where people like really enjoy the read.
Yeah.
I didn't read Misery.
Well, after the movie, I don't think you wanna.
Well, no. And also Cujo. My dad had the book Cujo at the cottage and it used to like make me scared. Yeah. So we had to hide it. It had a picture of this like crazy rabid dog on the front. Okay, this is just filler, but another Just Fair movie is Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, I didn't know that was
No, I didn't actually read this book, but I watched the movie, and by all standards, the movie was just fair.
Yeah,
I'm kind of entertaining. Haven't
read or watched either of those.
It's just like a teen movie.
For my Just Fairs, I have number one, Where Do You Go, Bernadette by Maria Semple. And this was a quarantine read for me, and I really liked this book. I think you would actually really like this book, too. I think I still have it. Christine lent it to me.
Oh, nice.
Christine, can I lend this book to Maria? I mean, I've had it for like well over a year. I keep meaning to give it back to her. But like the style of this book is really cool because it like tells a story, but it has a lot of plot is explained through like emails and memos and like text exchanges and correspondence between the characters.
Cool.
So like there could be pages where it's just like an email. And so that doesn't necessarily translate well to a movie, obviously. It's like you said, where you can really tell it was a book because it has like a lot of like really like kooky and zany characters, and they're all like so quirky, and that always doesn't translate well on screen. They usually like tone it down a lot, which is like definitely good for a movie. Mm-hmm. Otherwise it's like too like manic pixie dream girl. Like it becomes like a trope, and they took out a lot of the main characters' like very bad behavior to like make them a bit more likable.
Oh.
But overall it is like a really cute movie. Cate Blanchett is the star, and like she's just amazing and can do no wrong. They also like live in this big old dilapidated like Victorian mansion, and so, you know, seeing other people live your dreams is just...
Well, I'll have to watch it. I'll look for it.
Yeah. I think you should read it. It took me like no time at all. It's a really quick read.
Okay, yeah, I'll read it.
Number two, we have The Lovely Bones by Alice Sebold. And this movie was really, really different from the book. They made parts of it a little bit lighter because it's a very, very, very dark subject.
Okay.
But which I liked. It was a really great book. The opening scene is like the main character is like a young girl, like a 12-year-old girl. And she was lured to her assault and death by like an old pedophile, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the very like classic like 70s stranger danger, very scary. I find that like just very, very like uncomfortable but scary to watch. And okay. So when I was reading that, I was like, whoa. The rest of the book is like, and movie too, is like her family dealing with disappearance and like and death. They do like know that she died, but there's like a lot of, you know, that like trying to solve it and that. So it has a really, really good cast. The main character spends her life, or her afterlife rather, in heaven and like watching her family and stuff, and kind of like always keeping an eye on her family. Wow. So there's a lot of like back and forth like that. So anytime you're gonna have a movie that depicts heaven is like gonna be a little polarizing, because some people are like, well, I don't think heaven looks like that. The only correct depiction of heaven is at the end of the movie This Is the End, where it's like that comedy movie with like all of the famous people in it. Okay. Yeah, and they go up to heaven and the Backstreet Boys are there and they play. That is the only correct depiction of heaven. You hear that, every religion? I'm telling you the truth. Anyway, but this movie, it did have a really amazing cast. Stanley Tucci is the killer, and this is not a spoiler because it's like in the opening scene, and I love Stanley Tucci. He's like a chameleon. He's good in everything. He's also in the Hunger Games. He's really good in that.
Okay.
He's like that Caesar Flickerman or something.
Oh, okay.
The like show host.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's just like, he's good in everything. And it is the first role of, I don't know how to say her name. Is it maybe like Sorsha? Saoirse Ronan. She was just recently in Little Women. Pretty famous now. She's in Lady Bird. You'd know where to see her, but I have no idea how to say her name. It's like a, I think it's like an Irish or like Gaelic name that like.
Oh, interesting.
You know how they're like pronounced, like seemingly not how they're spelt at all. That's my number two pick. Number three. This is a big one. This is a big one for me. Is Game of Thrones by George R.R. Martin. There's a lot of controversy here. I've read the first couple of Game of Thrones books, and the series is called A Song of Ice and Fire. And the first one's like very similar to the first season of the show, but then they like really branch off. And this is why I consider it just fair, is because like you have to kind of think of it as like two different things. Like you really cannot expect it to be exactly like the books. And I will explain why, because it's kind of crazy. The showrunners actually like ran out of source material. The show like continued on past the books because George R.R. Martin like famously has been writing the last book called Winds of Winter for like 10 years. And he just like will not finish it. And he's like quite old and people are like, he's gonna die and he's just never gonna have finished this book. And it's one of those things that, like, every few years people are like, he's gonna finish it this year. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna finish the book this year. And then, like, it never happens. And it's just, like, a big joke now. Yeah, there's, like, two types of Game of Thrones fans. Those are still holding out hope that he will complete the series. And those that have just given up hope. So, the showrunners, like, notoriously fucked up the last two seasons of the show. Like, especially the last one. Especially the last two episodes. And especially the ending. And it's like painful to watch. I haven't been able to rewatch it, but I might soon because winter is coming.
I wish I knew what you were talking about.
You might like Game of Thrones. I don't know.
It's kind of like Lord of the Rings for me. Like, I've seen the first episode so many times, probably like 10.
But the first episode kind of has a lot of like bad stuff in it. Like, it ends with like a young boy being pushed out of a window after walking in on siblings having sex. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot.
That part I didn't mind. It's like where I get lost is the like the battles.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of
them. Yeah, and like all the different like places where they sail and the names, I get confused. And I'm like, who's this? I can't follow. Yeah. I'm lost.
There is a lot of like political intrigue about it too. Like there is some of that. But funny story about the show and like the showrunners. They've been nicknamed D&D because their names are David Benioff and D.B. Weiss. So they call them D&D. And part of the reason why they rushed and subsequently ruined the last few seasons of Game of Thrones is because they had to deal with Disney to make, I think, 3 Star Wars movies. So they were like, F Game of Thrones, we want that Disney Star Wars money. Oh. And so they like abandoned their first baby that like made them famous and like gave them all this praise and like accolades. And they made like some terrible choices that left a lot of the fans really furious, but then they kind of blamed it on like, well, we had no source material to go off, so we just like made our own choices. But it really like shows that like they just wanted off the project.
Or maybe they're just bad storytellers. Like if they followed
exactly. Yeah. It's like we'll never know. But so call it karma or call it like Icarus, who flew too close to the sun, D&D were removed from the Star Wars films and like after Game of Thrones had wrapped. And the reason is like a little unknown. Like some say they walked away on their own and some say it was like because of like criticisms from the Game of Thrones finale. And some say like Disney just will sometimes remove people from the projects that don't share their vision.
Right.
And they have like done this in the past, but like we'll just never know. They apparently have a Netflix deal coming up and some people are like, oh, they left Star Wars because they have a Netflix deal. But who would willingly walk away from a Star Wars movie? Like, even if you do a bad job at it, you still, like, have your name attached to Star Wars, which would be amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
wouldn't leave Disney for Netflix.
Exactly, exactly. So that's just kind of like a funny, funny story about like how
yeah, like some behind the scenes drama. We should do a Where Are They Now D&D. Oh,
I would love to. So the lesson here, I think, is that for all the movies we've talked about, if you are tasked with adapting a beloved literary tale, don't fuck it up.
That's right.
It's the moral of the story.
That's right. And if you're going to take the liberty of turning an epic love story into a movie, then make sure it is truly epic. Mm-hmm. Nothing worse than a lackluster movie version of a book that had you like totally captivated.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that walk through the library.
Yeah, special edition.
Walk through the library and through Blockbuster.
Maybe you've added a couple like books to your reading list or movies to your watch yeah. list. That would be a success. Well, thanks for listening. Hope we made you smile.
In the meantime, there's 13 other episodes that you can get caught up on. And follow us on Instagram at Unsolicited Flick Picks Podcast.
Later, lovers.
Later.